Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Psalm 118, verse 1 through 9 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And in verse 9, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." We thank you, Lord, for being our everything. You are so good to us, and it is a gift to be able to serve you. Therefore, it is my privilege to share a message from the scripture today. Today is the beginning of a teaching series called Leverage Your Life. Today's message is from the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The title of today's message is Seek First the Kingdom of God. Before I begin, let's pray. Merciful, loving, almighty God, you are worthy to be praised. We give you all honor and glory today. I pray you will bless this time that we have in hearing from your word on this day. May the words that I speak be clear and true. Make me small, Lord, so that you can be big. I pray for all those who are listening to be free of any attacks in the form of distractions from the enemy, who will do anything to keep us from hearing, believing, and applying the truths from Scripture in our lives. Have your way, O loving Father, in all things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it is exciting to share today as I would be taking the time to begin a new teaching series. The goal of this teaching series, Leverage Your Life, is to help us focus on some key priorities of the kingdom of God. This teaching series is especially important because it will help us focus to be better aligned and to have a reminder of some core values that believers of Christ should be living by. Over the next several weeks, if the Lord wills, I will be sharing messages from various parts of Scripture that highlight key disciplines that are necessary to live in a life that is dedicated to the mission of God. The first message, which is the one we will dive in today, will come from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it centers on the subject of seeking first the kingdom of God. This message will help us understand what it is to be and why it is important to prioritize chasing after God and his desires as we live our lives on this earth. Looking ahead in this series of Leverage Your Life for the Kingdom of God, we will discuss the kingdom priority of having a deepened devotion, which is how we study and why we study, and the importance of having a vibrant prayer life, as well as taking seriously the discipline of reading God's word. In addition, I plan to discuss the kingdom priority of sticking together, which I will discuss from Scripture what it means to be in on a unified mission for the kingdom of God. Also in this series, I plan to spend some time in a sermon message on the kingdom priority of thinking about multiplication. This idea of just not growing the church in the form of a number necessarily. However, when talking about multiplication, I will take us through Scripture of how God has commanded us to share our lives with others, to help them grow, to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Lastly, in Levering This Life series, I will discuss the importance of engaging our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, I will discuss the importance of telling everyone you may know, personally as well as strangers who cross our path, about the birth, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On a personal note, I'm so excited because as a church planner and pastor of a church that is just beginning, in discussing about these kingdom priorities from Scripture, it will be a reminder, a realignment, a focus to the core values of Shore Community Bible Fellowship, of worshiping God, growing His Word, serving others, and planting churches. Now, please get your Bible and follow along as we go through this verse of Matthew chapter 6, reading verse 33. And the King James Version reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Our first priority in leveraging your life is to seek the kingdom. Before we dig into the scripture, and what it means, let's lay a foundation of what I mean by leverage your life. First, let's define the word leverage. To leverage means to use or to shift the balance of a certain thing in a favor of another. To help me understand, or help us all understand, I like to think about it in the form of a seesaw that you may see on the playground. You know, you may have two people on the seesaw, one on each side, taking turns, pushing their feet off the ground in a way to catapult themselves in the air, while the other person opposite of them goes downward towards the ground. Never at a point does the seesaw is perfectly level, unless you have a situation where both people are the exact same weight with both of their feet off the ground. This hardly never happens. The seesaw tilts to one side or the other. It's always out of balance. The way that the seesaw looks out of balance, that is how we should be living our lives. We should live our lives in such a way that God's will for our lives has so much greater weight and dictates the way that we live in our homes, our communities, the ways we operate on our jobs, as well as how we operate in the places that we may play or hang out. It is also important to point out that when I mention leveraging your life, rather you want to submit to this truth or not, but it's actually not your life at all. Who of us has the power of controlling the next breath? None of us. That is because God is in control. He has all power. God, in his great love, however, has granted us the ability to live here on this earth for a set amount of time to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. So the truth of the matter is that we don't actually own our life. We are just stewards of the life that God has given us. A steward is someone who takes care of, who is responsible for something that someone else owns. So the question that we must have in our minds throughout this teaching series of leveraging your life is, how can I use the skills, gifts, and passion in the places that God has placed me? These places such as my home, my work, and my social setting for the mission of God. There is a quote by a man known as the father of American psychology, William James. The great use of a life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. That is how we want to be thinking about this. How can I use my life to be for a purpose that will continue on long after I have long left this earth? The only answer is to use your life for God's eternal purposes. Some already may be thinking, well, I'm just an ordinary person. How can I do this? How can I leverage my life for the kingdom of God? You must know that all throughout scripture that God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things to turn the world upside down. Have you ever heard of a man named Moses? This man was afraid to speak publicly, and God used him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Have you heard of a man named David, who was an ordinary shepherd boy, but became a great king? A man that God even called the man after God's own heart. How about a woman named Mary, a young ordinary woman who was engaged to be married to a carpenter, but was tasked with the divine assignment of giving birth to the Savior of the world? So many more examples in scripture, but you get the point. Ordinary people that God chose to do for his extraordinary purpose to fulfill the work of his kingdom. The early church focused their hearts on God's kingdom priorities. And if we, the church, would do the same, we can leverage our lives for the sake of God's mission. The mission of God is not something you do for Jesus. Mission is who Jesus is as he lives his life through you. My wife and I heard this early on in our season of just starting out, praying through, reading the Bible, and being trained in church planting. That is a privilege and a great blessing that God has allowed us to join in on his work. That is the same for each and every one of you. There is a purpose for each of you in God's plan. He is sovereign. So as we look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. These words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and the crowd of people who were around him. This fundamental statement that Jesus spoke was part of this great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has spent some time talking about the ones who we call blessed, how believers are called to be salt and light of the world. How murder and idolatry are committed, not necessarily in that actual act, but first in the thoughts where hate and lust start. Jesus started talking about the sacredness of marriage and forbidding oath, as well as going the extra mile in service and loving your enemies. Even teaching the disciples how to pray and fast, as well as not worrying themselves about trivial things such as food and clothing. Although necessary, but not important to think about, because the Heavenly Father in which they serve would ensure that they would have everything that they would need. Specifically in verse 31 and 32 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do not worry," Jesus tells them. But instead, he gives them a command. Instead of focusing on things that are temporary, like food and clothing, shift your focus on something that is permanent, something that is eternal. That is the kingdom of God. In Jesus' statement to his disciples, the others who were there, he pointed out the fact that they should pursue the kingdom of God, prioritize the kingdom of God, as well as persevere in the kingdom of God. In case you did not know, when you read the Bible, you will see something about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven quite a bit, especially in the New Testament. Actually, there are over 100 references in 16 different books of the New Testament that have the subject of the kingdom of God. Now, let me say that again. There's over 100 references in 16 different books of the New Testament. Now, that is a big deal. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember my grandma or when my mom would tell me to do something, they expected me to do it. Now, if they circled back and it wasn't done and they had to say it again, and if I was smart, I make sure it got done immediately, because if they said it twice, that meant it was serious business and I did not want to face the consequences. Here, Jesus is making a command. It is not a suggestion or a great idea that might work in the best interest of our benefit. No, Jesus issues a command just by mentioning the word of the scripture, the word seek. To seek means to go after, to aim for, to look for, to meditate on, to crave. In other words, we should be going after, aiming for, meditating, and craving the kingdom of God. When I think about words like aiming or meditating, craving, going after, these seems to me of words of intensity, portraying some type of active pursuit. Unfortunately, many Christians today view following God as a passive lifestyle. We may listen to sermons and read scripture, bend our knees to pray, hoping to get God's attention and something that we may want to accomplish. But no, the scripture says that we are to seek. It means to chase after. Our first step in leveraging our life for God's mission is to pursue his kingdom, to seek it, to chase after it with everything that we have. We can be confident that as we seek God, that we should not have any fear, worry, or doubt that we would not find him. But he will be there to receive us. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Again, in Jeremiah 29, 13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, don't miss the condition that the scripture lays out. If we seek with our whole heart, that means to chase after and to be in pursuit with everything that we have, our whole being. Our thoughts, our desires, our strength, our skills, our passions, our words, our feelings, our everything should be aligned with seeking the kingdom of God. Furthermore, as we look at this command from Jesus in this verse, it says that we are to seek first. This word first is so important. The word first means to be made a priority. It means to be made important. Our second step in leveraging our life for God's mission is to prioritize his kingdom. There is a saying that I hear oftentimes directed towards younger people, and the saying is, "Get your priorities in order." This is often directed at them when their words or their actions are not aligning with the direction in which they should be headed in. For example, if a young man is at home playing video games all day, sitting on the couch playing, and he is able body to go out and work, then the words, "Get your priorities in order," are appropriate. For example, there is something more important you should be doing instead of playing games. Instead, you should make it your priority to get up, find a job, work to earn an income, and care for yourself. For the Christian, oftentimes when we are chasing the desires of this world or get so consumed of living how we want to and doing the things we want to and how we want to, we need to hear those words, "Get your priorities in order." Here, Jesus is doing just that when he says, "Seek first." In other words, Christian, our first priority should be the kingdom of God. Everything in our lives should center in and revolve around the king and his kingdom. So as we look at this verse, the question has to be, what are the priorities in my life today? What are the things that require your time and attention? Spend some time thinking about that. One way to determine your priority is to get out a calendar and a planner and look at how you spend your time. How much time is spent on the things that are going to benefit you versus how much time is spent on the things that's going to benefit the kingdom of God. If we are to seek after our first priority, the kingdom of God, then it's important for us to give a definition of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in the people being in right relationship with himself. This is the eternal redemptive mission of God. Again, the kingdom of God is God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in people being in right relationship with himself. This is the eternal redemptive mission of God. There is no great use of your life than to invest it in something that is so much bigger than your life, and that is the kingdom of God. Now, I shared earlier of how a reference to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is mentioned over 100 times in 16 different books in the New Testament. Now, it is important to look at some key instances of a couple of people who spoke of the kingdom of God and the specific times that they did speak about the kingdom. One person I'm referencing, of course, is Jesus. Yes, because these are his words that I'm discussing in these scriptures here. But there was other important moments where Jesus spoke about the kingdom also. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, where Luke begins the book and recorded in verse 2, that until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3 of Acts chapter 1 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Don't miss that. Jesus' last 40 days on earth, physically, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he spent teaching about the kingdom of God. Furthermore, not just Jesus, but also a well-known servant of Jesus in the New Testament. Paul talked about the kingdom of God also in Acts, but this time at the end of Acts. In Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31, it says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Don't miss that. For 2 years in a rented house while under Roman imprisonment, Paul preached the kingdom of God. Even if you think about John the Baptist, the one that the scripture puts prepared the way for Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God. All in the Gospels, you can find where John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, in Matthew chapter 3 especially. The message of the kingdom of God, this message to recognize and submit to God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in people being in right relationship with himself. The question is for us all today, does everything in your life center in and revolve around the king and his kingdom? Will we heed to the commands of scripture of seeking first the kingdom of God? What obstacles or distractions shift your focus away from God's kingdom? Is it fear? Are you afraid that if you speak to people about Jesus, they will reject you, ignore you, or label you as being weird or crazy? Are you ashamed? Is there some past guilt? Is there some sin that you may have committed in your past, or maybe that's now in the present sin in which you need to repent of that's causing you not to pursue the kingdom? Are you feeling inadequate or unqualified? Do you think that godly things and godly work should only be left up to the elders and pastors of a church, or at least the very people who may seem spiritual than most? Whatever your hangup is, or whatever may be keeping you from fully seeking and making God's kingdom your priority in your life, you must address it immediately. Ultimately, to seek the kingdom, you must recognize that there is a living, almighty king who is reigning on the throne now, that has eternity's past and will be in eternity's future. When we recognize him as king, we agree to live our life to serve him, to follow the command of his scriptures. Now, that is the kingdom that is eternal. Furthermore, if there is a question that will help us in leveraging our life for the mission of God, that question that we can ask ourselves to help us refocus our priorities is, why should we seek the kingdom of God? If we reread that verse, seek first the kingdom of God, we will see that seek is an imperative. In other words, it is a command. So in short answer to the question, why should we seek the kingdom of God? It is because God has commanded us to. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's a pet peeve I have. It is when I give a command to my children. They ignore my command and give me a reason in which to why they cannot do it. I try to instill in them that if I give a directive, I do not want an explanation, but instead I want immediate action. We also, if you are a follower of Christ, should follow the command. Remember, when we seek God's kingdom, we invest ourselves in God's work to glorify Him, to honor Him, to properly align ourselves with Him. The scripture also says in verse 33, as we seek first the kingdom, we also are to seek His righteousness. In a broad sense, to pursue righteousness, it is a condition acceptable to God. It is to live in such a way that portrays a life of integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness in our thinking, feeling, and acting. This is just one aspect of leveraging your life for the kingdom of God. Pursuing after Him, chasing after Him, craving for Him, acknowledging His kingdom reign and sovereignty in all things. Our desire should be to position our lives totally surrendered to the right condition of our King. As we pursue the kingdom of God and as we prioritize His kingdom, we are also called to persevere in the kingdom of God. At the end of verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and don't miss this, all things shall be added to you. God in all His sovereignty and ensuring the command to seek first the kingdom, also in His love, gives a promise. This promise that all things shall be added to you. But what things shall be added? To understand the reference, as I alluded to earlier in this message, this is referring to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Instead of worrying about the day-to-day aspect of our lives, what we will eat, what we will wear, where we will live, we are directed not to worry, but instead to seek first the kingdom. For our Father knows and will supply our very need. Now, does it mean that as followers of Christ, that there will be not be times where we will endure hardships or face scarcity in some things? Absolutely not. For the Bible says that we will have trials and tribulations, meaning that we will have tests and some things we will have to overcome. But they have a purpose. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says that we are to glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. We are to persevere in the kingdom of God, pressing forward, enduring anything that we have to endure for the purposes of seeing God's kingdom reign to be present in every aspect of our lives. Now, practically, what does it look like to leverage our lives for the kingdom of God? And specifically in this case, what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God in our homes and community, in our work, in our school, and in our social places? In our homes, we can leverage our lives for God's mission by intentionally making our homes, meaning our families, a place where you and others can pray together, read and study the Bible together, open your homes up to those who may be in need, to show love and care as God directs you. And seeking the kingdom of God, we can intentionally cultivate godly marriages, striving to have healthy relationships with our kids. Or if we are in season of singlehood, we can seek the kingdom of God in our homes to serve others, as well as personally seeking a life of purity and righteousness. In our work or in our school, we can seek the kingdom of God by being bold and sharing our faith as the Lord provides us the opportunity. In our workplaces and in our schools, we can intentionally work to look for ways as to serve our fellow co-workers, our classmates, out of the overflow of kindness in our hearts because of the great love that God shows us. And in our social settings, if it is the gym, the ball fields, or even shopping, the everyday activities that we may be involved in, We should conduct ourselves in such a way that the light of Jesus illuminates from us to the point that would cause people to be drawn to us. For example, if we are at our play, in other words, in our social settings, we should be intentionally looking for ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that others will also have the opportunity to decide to follow Christ also, so that ultimately they too can live a life to seek him and his righteousness to bring him all the glory. To the Christian, Jesus calls for us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Christian, you are called to pursue the kingdom of God. You are called to prioritize the kingdom of God, and you are called to persevere because of the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in the people being in right relationship with himself. This is the eternal redemptive mission of God. That should be our prayer. What is God asking you to invest in his kingdom based on the job, skill, passion he has given you? What areas have you tried to live up to build up your own kingdom and having no interest in God's kingdom? What do you need to do? What next steps do you need to take to continuously refocus on God's kingdom priorities and living out our life for the purpose driven by the mission of God? Our prayer to the Lord should be to ask for his help to guide us to center our lives for his kingdom. To the one who may not believe, who may be confused or have questions about what it means to be a follower of Christ. To the one who may not be quite sure what the kingdom of God is all about. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, let me tell you, you're not here by accident. It is by no coincidence that you are hearing these truths from Scripture. Jesus calls for each of us, including you, to seek, to actively pursue God's reign in your life and in this world. But first, to actively pursue God's reign, you must first submit to him. Submission means to make a decision to no longer live a life fulfilling your own sinful desires, but to instead live a life that is aligned with fulfilling the mission of God. The truth of the matter is that God commands that you seek him and only him, which means you must turn away from your sin, sin in which that separates you from the Father. Know that the penalty for sin is death, but God in his great effort to seek you, to pursue you, not wanting you to perish, sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day with all power. You have an opportunity to believe this truth and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. All you have to do is seek him. Let us pray. Dear loving Father, may your kingdom reign. You are great. You are sovereign. Please forgive us for not pursuing your mission here on this earth. Forgive us for not prioritizing your mission that you desire to fulfill through our lives. Forgive us for not persevering as we seek your kingdom and when we sometimes think about trivial things that don't matter and waste our time on temporary pursuits that will soon pass away. I do thank you, however, that even when I fall short of pursuing you, that you pursue me like the great shepherd that you are. I'm eternally grateful to be a citizen of your kingdom, and you have allowed me to be a part of your kingdom. I pray also for those who are lost, who may be experiencing hopelessness. May they find hope in your son, Jesus, who is King. In all things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, and if you have a prayer request or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. Also, come out and worship with us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing be upon you and your family.